Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. I want to read for you today a few pages out of the book Testimonies to Ministers and Gospel Workers. I'm reading from pages 506 through 512. The section is called Pray for the Latter Rain by Mrs. White. This passage was originally published in the Review and Herald on March 2nd, 1897. You can download it from the internet. It's right there on page 1 and 2. And I found it very interesting and revealing because there were things in this article that I've never heard before. We've all heard about the early rain or former rain was outpoured upon the disciples at the day of Pentecost. And we've heard that the latter rain will be poured out upon us just before Jesus comes. But there are things in this article that I have never heard before. And I wonder if you have. So the best way to get this across to people, because this does apply to us right now, is that I would just go ahead and read this for you. Pray for the latter rain. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain. He will cause to come down for you the rain the former rain and the latter rain. In the east, the former rain falls at the sowing time. It is necessary in order that the seed may germinate. Under the influence of the fertilizing showers, the tender shoot springs up. The latter rain, falling near the close of the season, ripens the grain and prepares it for the sickle. The Lord employs these operations of nature to represent the work of the Holy Spirit. As the dew and the rain are given first to cause the seed to germinate and then to ripen the harvest, so the Holy Spirit is given to carry forward from one stage to another the process of spiritual growth. The ripening of the grain represents the completion of work of God's grace in the soul. By the power of the Holy Spirit, the moral image of God is to be perfected in the character. We are to be wholly transformed into the likeness of Christ. The latter rain, ripening the earth's harvest, represents the spiritual grace that prepares the church for the coming of the Son of Man. But unless the former rain has fallen, there will be no life. The green blade will not have sprung up. Unless the early showers have done their work, the latter rain can bring no seed to perfection. There is to be first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. There must be a constant development of Christian virtue, a constant advancement in Christian experience. This we should seek with intensity of desire, that we may adorn the doctrine of Christ our Savior. Many have, in a great measure, failed to receive the former rain. They have not obtained all the benefits that God has thus provided for them. They expect that the lack will be supplied by the latter rain. When the richest abundance of grace shall be bestowed, they intend to open their hearts to receive it. They are making a terrible mistake. The work that God has begun in the human heart in giving His light and knowledge must be continually going forward. Every individual must realize his own necessity. The heart must be emptied of every defilement and cleansed for the indwelling of the Spirit. It was by the confession and forsaking of sin, by earnest prayer and consecration of themselves to God, that the early disciples prepared for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. The same work, only in a greater degree, must be done now. Then the human agent had only to ask for the blessing and wait for the Lord to perfect the work concerning him. It is God who began the work, and He will finish His work, making man complete in Jesus Christ. But there must be no neglect of the grace represented by the former rain. Only those who are living up to the light they have will receive greater light. Unless we are daily advancing in the exemplification of the active Christian virtues, we shall not recognize the manifestations of the Holy Spirit in the latter rain. It may be falling on hearts all around us, but we shall not discern or receive it. At no point in our experience can we dispense with the assistance of that which enables us to make the first start. The blessings received under the former rain are needful to us to the end. Yet, these alone will not suffice. While we cherish the blessing of the early rain, we must not, on the other hand, lose sight of the fact that without the latter rain, to fill out the ears and ripen the grain, the harvest will not be ready for the sickle, and the labor of the sower will have been in vain. Divine grace is needed at the beginning, divine grace at every step of the advance, and divine grace alone can complete the work. There is no place for us to rest in a careless attitude. We must never forget the warnings of Christ. Watch unto prayer, watch and pray always. A connection with the divine agency every moment is essential to our progress. We may have had a measure of the Spirit of God, but by prayer and faith, we are continually to ask more of the Spirit. It will never do to cease our efforts. If we do not progress, if we do not place ourselves in an attitude to receive both the former and the latter rain, we shall lose our souls, and the responsibility will lie at our own door. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the latter rain. Do not rest satisfied that in the ordinary course of the season, rain will fall. Ask for it. The growth and perfection of the seed rests not with the husbandman. God alone can ripen the harvest. But man's cooperation is required. God's work for us demands the action of our mind, the exercise of our faith. We must seek his favors with the whole heart if the showers of grace are to come to us. We should improve every opportunity of placing ourselves in the channel of blessing. Christ has said, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst." The convocations of the church, as in camp meetings, the assemblies of the home church, and all occasions where there is personal labor for souls, are God's appointed opportunities for giving the early and the latter rain. But let none think that in attending these gatherings, their duty is done. A mere attendance upon all the meetings that are held will not in itself bring a blessing to the soul. It is not an...
Good evening, my dear brothers and sisters. This is Sister Powell. I think I saw Sister Leola on the line. Sister Leola, I don't know if you want to host tonight. God is good. God is great. We're going to offer a word of prayer, brothers and sisters. Father, we want to thank you for this sweet, sweet fellowship that you have given unto our sisters and brothers, that we can come together to give you praises. Lord, you are so good. You are so great to us. We have more than words can express our gratitude of praise toward you for the things that you have done. And tonight, dear Lord, we come here tonight, Lord, another new week, Lord. The week started, so we come to give you praises and to bring glory to your name. So tonight, dear Father, we are asking our brothers and sisters who join here that they will praise you and give you thanks. You have done so much things for us, and we have to let you know how much we appreciate your love and your mercies and your blessings that you have given unto us. So this evening, Father, help let every one of us share with praise report, whether a song, their favorite scripture passage, and just give praise, Lord, and that we can pray and lift up our brothers and our sisters, Lord, here around the world, our sisters in our church, our young people, you know, the government, dear Lord. So help us this evening that we will just rejoice and to share and to give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Yes, my dear brothers and sisters, this is Sister Powell on the line. I pray I welcome everyone. So I will sing this little song, our opening song, our opening individual we have not seen or here. So we're going to sing this little song and then read a scripture, and then I will open. It says it. And this is from 205 in our book, Gleams of the Golden Morning. We are all looking for the second coming of Christ, my dear brothers and sisters. So the golden morning is fast approaching. Jesus soon will come to take his faithful and happy children to their promised home. Oh, we see the gleams of the golden morning piercing through this night of gleam. Oh, we see the gleam of the golden morning that will burst that tomb. The gospel sermon will soon be carried to the nation wide. The bridegroom then will cease to tarry, and the trumpet sound. Oh, we see the gleams of the golden morning piercing through this night of gloom. Oh, we see the gleams of the golden morning that will burst that tomb, attended by all the shining angels down the flaming sky. The judge will come and will take his people where they will not die. Oh, we see the gleam of the golden morning piercing through this night of gloom. Oh, we see the gleam of the golden morning that will burst that tomb. There those loved ones who have long been parted will all meet that day. The tears of those who are broken-hearted will be wiped away. Oh, we see the gleam of the golden morning piercing through this night of gloom. Oh, we see the gleams of the golden morning that will burst the tomb. Praise the Lord. We all are going to wait for that golden morning, brothers and sisters on this land. And Psalm 65:7, God provides abundantly, and we can be thankful to God for his many blessings. And it said, just going to read 1-2, it said, praise waited, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall we all be performed, O thou that hearest prayer, and thee shall all flesh come. So God wants us to praise him, and God wants us to lift up our prayer to him. So my brothers and sisters on this line, this evening is a praise and thanks to God for all what he has done. So we're asking our brothers and sisters to share, because God has done so much things for you. So we have to be thankful for. All right? Thank you. 225-337, your line is open.
I want to share.
You can get three.
Oh, I want.
Okay. Is that enough?
Sister Jackson, I'm on the prayer line. I want to share. That's okay. I want to share.
Thank you for telling me.
Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. I am here in Alabama. My sisters and brothers came out to help the brothers and sisters to. No, I'm on. Oh, okay. My brothers and sisters came out to help their brothers and sisters to cut grass. So I'm in the area where I have good towel. I have like 4 bars, so I'm able to share. So I want to just thank the Lord. I just want to thank our Elohim for being on this line, and I want to share a scripture So I want to say good evening, brothers and sisters, Sister Power and everyone. I want to share Philippians chapter 3, and I want to, it's verse 13 through verse 15. It says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehend, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me and reaching forth unto the things which are before me. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of Elohim and Christ Yeshua. And so, sister, as I'm reading this, I am pressing towards that high mark in the Lord because, you know, he has provided for me health, strength, and also leading and guiding me in his word. So I just want to thank him for his blessing. I have been walking and just the Lord blessing me to do these things. And when I was at home, I wasn't able, I could not focus. And now I pray that our Father helping me to focus on him and getting my life in line with his word. So I'm just calling to give God the praise, the honor, and glory for his goodness because he's been merciful to me, long-suffering, patient, because at times I could have been dead and lost, sisters and brothers, but I thank God he gave me another chance to get my heart right and my appetite and all those things which glorify our Father. So thank you once again. And I just want to continue to ask for prayers for myself and my husband, and also continue to pray for brothers and sisters. Amen. I'm going to close my line, Sister Powell, because I asked them to let me share. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Leola, for joining. Thank you for joining us and also read these scripture passages for us and also these comforting word that you have given, encouraging word that you want to make it right with the Lord and to be obedient by giving your life to him fully. God is so good. Sure, we will pray for you, and you know that God answers prayer and he hears our cry, so we will be lifting you up to the Lord. Yes, brothers and sisters, on this line, I'm asking you please to join. Press 1 that we can share tonight his praise report to give thanks for God, what God have done for you. He have done so much things. And you know what? Sometimes we come and we join this line and we don't get the chance and the time to give God the praise. So this evening I just said, you know what? God had carried us safely through the 6 days he have allowed us to see the seventh day of rest yesterday, where I do know everyone have a blessed Sabbath, and this is the first day of the week he allowed us to see and to be here that we can fellowship with our brothers and sisters. He have done so much things, you know. And I said, you know what? This is the evening that we can give praise to God. You know, every one of us that got their wisdom, knowledge, and understanding from God, the Lord, and that they can come to the Lord and say, Lord, thank you for everything you have done. Thank you for my life. So this evening, I'm giving up my brothers and sisters the opportunity that they can press one, and to share. I know we will share and then have prayer, and then, you know, we will hear the speaker. But this is the time for brothers and sisters to share. 518-650, your line is open. Can you tell your name and where you're calling from?
Thank you, Sister Pearl, for opening my line. My name is Paulette Barnaby. I'm calling from Albany, upstate New York. Day by day, and which is passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowed man, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is calm beyond all matter, give unto each day what he deemed best. Lovingly in part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Every day the Lord himself is near me, with a special mercy for each all my cares he fain would bear and cheer me, treasure is a judge on himself he's laid. As a day the strength shall be in better, this a pledge to me made. Help me then in every tribulation, so to trust your promises, O Lord, that I lose not faithful consolation offered me within thy holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble lead in, yet to take us from a father's hand. One by one, the days a moment fleeting, till I reach the promised land. I'm gone. 121, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer my foot to be moved. He that keepeth me will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth me shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is my keeper. The Lord is my shade upon my right hand. The sun shall not smite me by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve me from all evil. The Lord shall preserve my soul. The Lord shall preserve my going out and my coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. O Lord, unto you I lift up I will lift up my eyes unto your God, because my help comes from you, you who made heaven and earth. Heavenly Father, day by day and with each passing moment, strength I find, you give me the strength to meet my trials here. So, Lord, I just want to trust you. I just want to magnify you, Lord. I just want to lift you up. I just want to give you thanks for your many, many blessings towards me, Lord. Lord, in the good, bad time and in the good time, Jesus, I love you, I praise you, I honor you, I magnify you, I exalt you, I lift you up, and I give you thanks. Because you're God and God alone, and there's no other God but you. You never change, O God. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And in sickness, O God, and in health, I just want to thank you, and I just want to praise you. I just want to magnify and exalt you, O God, because I know your name is worthy to be praised. And you can do all things. You're the greatest healer. You're the sympathizing Jesus. You're the rose of Sharon. You're the lily of the valley. You're everything. Take full control, O God. Touch, heal, rebuke, remove, and destroy every unrighteousness from your people. And let your name be praised and glorified. Lord, I put this prayer line into your hand, O God. I'm asking to be with each and every one of us as we come on this prayer line. We are asking you to build a net around us and to keep us from the enemy. Because the enemy is like a roaring lion, O God, seeking whom he may devour. And Lord, he's not going around his sinner heart, going around his people. But Father, because we are praising you, because we love you, and you love us, O God, and we want to go to heaven to live with you, Satan wants to take us away. But O God, in the name of Jesus, we give ourselves to you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the sweet Holy Spirit, O God. Mold us and fashion us into your likeness, dear Father, and make us into what you want us to be. And not what we want to be. Because, Lord, of our own strength, we cannot do nothing, dear God. Of our own strength, we are weak. We are frail. We are nothing, O God. But, Lord, because of you and your righteousness, your kindness, your love, your mercy, your compassion, O God, we are here. So, Lord Jesus, we are asking you to build us around us, O God, and to mold us and to fashion us and help us to be like you in mind, body, and soul, dear God. Father, heal our body, purify our body, break and melt and mold and fashion our body and fill our body, O God, with your love, with your mercy, with your grace, with your compassion, with your truth, and with everything, O God, that you want us to have. Because, Lord, you want the best for us. You don't want us to be found wanting. You don't want us to suffer. You want us to prosper, O God, and have the best and be the best and do the best. So, Father, we just want to thank you. Thank you, O God, for looking on us and for preserving us, for protecting us, O God, and for sending your holy angel to encamp round about us each, every day, every moment, every minute, every second. Thank you for hearing everything, O God. Marching to heal the sick, O God, to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, open shelter for the homeless, O God. Freely you receive, Heavenly Father, and freely you give. Lord, go into each and every one of the hospitals all over the world in diverse places, O God. Touch, heal, rebuke, remove, and destroy every unrighteousness and every sickness, O God, and let your healing hand take full control. Be with the nurses and the doctors, O God. I put them into your hand. Have mercy upon them according to your loving kindness, Heavenly Father, according unto the multitude of your tender mercy, dear God. Do, Lord, do, Heavenly Father, do. I put all those countries where people are suffering and so many are dying, Haiti and all those other countries, into your hand, dear God. I'm asking you to step right in, dear God, and let your guardian angel take full control and to do what you can do. Lord, continue to bless us. Continue to guide us, O God. Continue to be what you want us to be to us. Be with our neighbors, be with our friends, be with our co-workers, be with our everyone we come in contact with, dear God. Heavenly Father, take us in your hand as holy Zion. We lay all our plans and all our problems into your hand, O God. Abide with us, dear Father. And whatever we do, let everything be done according to your will, according to your way, and the way you want it to be done. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the sweet Holy Spirit, dear God. Father, the speaker, come on the line, I'm asking you to build an edge around the speaker, O God. Guide the speaker, for protect the speaker, along with their family, and put words in the speaker mouth that he may speak, O God. Not from his mouth, but from coming from your throne. Continue to lead and to guide and to protect, O God, and to have control and pray. In the name of the Father, Son, and the sweet Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen, 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 amen. Praise God. Thank you, my dear Sister Barnaby, for singing that song, Day by Day, Each Passing Moment. You know, God, give us the strength, even though it's, you know, trials. He said, trusting in my Father, wise and store men, you know. I would be caused to worry or to fear. You, whose art is kind beyond all, you know. So we know we have a Savior who we can pour out all things, so all our problems, all our trials. And he is there to guide us. So we just want to thank our dear sister for that wonderful song and also scripture passage, scripture reading, and prayer for each and every one of us. And this is what we need this moment, dear, my dear brothers and sisters. We need to get this strength. And the Lord said, you know, if we call upon him, he will hear us. So I just want to thank my dear sister that she could pray for each and every one of us on this line and actually for our brothers and our sister out there. So my dear brothers and sister, let us press this line that we can all share. 423-635, your line is open. Can you tell your name and where you're calling from?
Amen. Good evening, Sister Pam. This is Sister Carla. I'm calling from Tennessee. I'm just praising the Lord for his mercy, his love towards me and my brothers and sisters. I thank him for the blessed time we had at the camp meeting. It's still ongoing, but I have to work tonight. But so much to learn. I've learned so much regarding gardening and the preparation for end time. And it's just the tip of the mountain, because there's so much to learn if we are to live without buying or selling. You know, the instructor was talking about learning to make our own clothes, our own grains. We have to learn how to grow our own grains and trash it and have a mill to grind it, and growing cotton and a treadmill, and just learning how to get it into to making clothes. And we say, Lord, may you preserve our clothes, because there's so much to learn. And just talking about also people coming together. Everyone should come together and be an asset, you know, come with a trade, be able to help each other and willing to grow and help and learn, because this is going to be a teamwork. So it's been a wonderful weekend and week thus far. So I'm just thanking the Lord for his mercy, his love, his provision, and just opening the eyes of his people to what is to come, and for us to truly be prepared. Amen. Thank you, Sister Powell.
Amen, 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 amen. Praise the Lord for that praise report from our dear sister. Went to the camp meeting this week. You know, they have a high time in Zion, and I do know that, you know what, the angel was here there with them. The Holy Spirit were there guiding them. And brothers and sisters, our dear sister bring back this report that this is the time that we all have to come together as one. Hear what she said? To learn things and things that we did not know about. If you have that ideas and experiences, it's not for your the experience that you have or your trade that you have. You know, it's time for you to share it with others, teach others. Some of us doesn't want to share, but we have to share, because the time is coming when we will not be able to buy ourselves. And, you know, God is calling us, so he wants us to be faithful. So I just want to thank Sister Carlo for that praise report that she brings from the camp meeting, and continue to pray for Sister Carlo that God would pour out his blessings upon her. Thank you again, Sister Carla, for sharing. 985-232, your line is open.
Good evening, sisters and brothers. This is Sister Brenda calling from Houma, Louisiana. I want to thank God for watching over us and waking us up. I want to thank him for all his blessings and mercy that brought us through. I would like to read a prayer. Dear God, I am grateful for your mercy and your comfort that kept me from going in times of great trials and tribulations. I know your comfort won't just minister to me, but to everyone else I come in contact with, who may be experiencing situations I've overcome. I thank you, Lord, that in such times I will be able to reach out to them and minister efficiently. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I have been ministering to people, and we have been talking about the goodness of God, and we have been having a good time. And we have been learning a lot about God, and it's been a good time. So I thank God that we have been having a time to have studies on the Lord, and we've been having a wonderful time growing in the Lord. So, and praying for everybody. So I thank God for all that good experience and helping me to grow. So I thank God for that. And just ask for prayer for it being like the leaders and all the upcoming events, all the things they have going on. Pray to the Lord that he give them strength. He give them what they need to do it and how to do it. And he know what they need. So just pray that he apply everything for them that they can get it straight and bless all their studies they have wherever they are and can't get to it. We ask the Lord to strengthen them and strengthen their family members to pray with and keep them all in one hand so that whenever they meet again, they can continue the meetings and just pray for each and every one and their families and just continue praying for our event-like family. And pray for the sick, the homeless, the hunger, and all the bereaved family. And we just keep each and every one in prayer. We don't want to leave nobody out. So we just thank God for each and every one. I was so hurt. I missed the prayer line Friday. I was waiting on Friday to come, and I didn't know Friday was here. I was just sleeping away. And before I know it, they told me Friday was gone. It was another day. I'm like, oh, no, I'm hurt. So God is good. I just thank God. They had no one here to tell me the day of the week, so I didn't even know. But when I woke up, it was 8 o'clock. God bless each and everyone on this line. I'll be the only one speaking tonight. Amen.
Amen, 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 amen. Thank you, Sister Brenda and Brother John, although he doesn't come on. But we just want to give praise to God that you were able to come on the line tonight. And also you missed Friday night. You know, the Lord know that you need a rest, right? So we just want to thank God for you to be sharing and to be, you know, studying and talking about the word to your friends and the house church and how you are growing in Christ, you know. So this is what the Lord wants us to do, brother. This is this time that we can study together. The more we study together, study his word, we grow in grace with him. So that's a blessing, and we sure will be lifting you up, and thank you for praying for each and every one of us on the line and also praying for the world at large, because if there is no other time, we need this prayer to present to the Lord about our fellow brethren and sister out there. It is the time now. So I just want to thank you, my dear brother, my dear sister, for sharing. Yes, brother and sister, this is the time that you can share. I'm going to open some line, and I'm asking you to share tonight. We all have an opportunity to give praise and to give thanks to God for all the things that he have done. I on this line, brothers and sisters, for a few days, and all the praise I got a lot of praise report from our brothers and sisters. I got a praise report from Sister Katie, came on this line, and she's giving praise about her granddaughter, our grandbaby, right? The one that started to walk, and it brings so much of joy in their heart to know, you know, because those little babies, they were really sick. But you know what? God said, you know what? This is the time to loosen their feet. And this little one started to walk. So we have to lift them up in prayer and also pray that they will talk. Also pray for the many blessings that happened with that accident, I think, there. And our friend came out victorious, you know, out of that accident. So all these things is happening. And it's time for us to acknowledge who God is and to give him all the praise. Our dear sister Leola is in Alabama now, and she came on the line giving praise and asking, you know, for prayer, and she decided to, you know, continue to be faithful to the Lord and for what the Lord had been doing for her. Sister Carla came on, went on a trip this weekend, a trip with the Lord, the camp meeting, Convocation, and there she came back with a lot of report of things that we can do and things that we have to learn from each other. And all these are praise. Sister Barnaby came on the line and giving praise by singing our songs of praise, praying for our brothers and our sister, our church family, our family in Jamaica, and also the family here in Advent Light. Lord, so we know that, you know, we are all here as one brothers and sister to give thanks to God for the things that he have done. And the Lord want us to praise him and God, that he can prepare us for the things that that is going to happen on this land and what is coming up. But he said to us, you know what, we must not fear, right? Because he promised us that he will be with us. I was reading a Psalms 27 a while ago, and when I look upon the word of Psalms 27, I'm asking my brothers and sisters to press one that I can, you know, and what David offered with these Psalms, you know, we find that there are so much things is happening in this world that people are so afraid. You know, I can hear a testimony. I can give a little testimony today. I went down to one of my church sisters, and when I went at the door and I rang the bell and, you know, I didn't get no one. So anyhow, I took up my phone and I phoned her. And then someone called, "You have on your glove? You have on your mask?" I said, "My dear sister, yes, I have on my mask here." But you know what? We are so fearful. Even our own sister, "Oh, you have on your mask," and call it, "You have on your mask." I said, "Yes, I have my mask." And I prayed. I went in. I have on my mask, you know, because you have to follow the rule. And I have on my mask. And she was on the back outside. So we went out there and I just prayed. I said, "Lord, cover each and every one of us here. Let us not be afraid, you know, because you are there to keep us. You are there to guide us and lead us." And when I read this little thing, when David, right, called upon the Lord to deliver him. Good David. When he called up, he believed that God is able. If we trust him, he is able to do all things. And Psalms 27, it says, "God, the team, God offer help for us today. And he hope for the future, unwavering confidence in God is to the antidote for fear and loneliness." So we have a God who can help us, right? When he said, when David said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid?" Right? So God is there to strengthen us. And 2 says, when the wicked, even our enemies, in which we should not have none, and my foes came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Right? And 3 said, "Though an oath shall encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. And though war shall rise against me, in him will I comfort it." And I'm encouraging my brothers and sisters to just read that Psalms. And it says, fear is a dark shadow that develops us. Each and every one of us go in fear, you know, but we know we have a loving God who is there to help us. So I'm encouraging my brothers and sisters to press 1. So that you can share before the speaker come in. This is a time for praise report, a song, and also reading your favorite scripture, you know, to encourage each one of us here on the line. You know, I'm asking you to press 1. I'm going to open this line. You know, I know my sister like to share. 272-770. I open your line because I know my sister loves to, I acknowledge this number. And I know my sister loves to share. 272-770, your line is open.
Thank you, Sister Paul. God bless you, all my brothers and sisters. Happy day to all of you. We're on the line together as a family, and I'm so grateful to the Lord for another precious day of life. So I'm grateful to be alive. I'm grateful for my family. I'm grateful for my grandchildren that I still have here with me, and they keep me busy, but I'm very pleased to have them. We've been doing good things together as far as growing vegetables in the backyard. My granddaughter's planting watermelon. My grandson is planting cucumbers, and grandma's planting spinach. So we're trying to get prepared and get ready for that time. So I have them going out and watering them every day, and then I have some blueberries out back, and we've been watering them too every day. So they're excited because they're happy that they got a chance to plant some seeds with grandma. And we also put we plant some seeds in the front of the house, and we've been watering those flower pots as well. So I'm so grateful that the Lord gives us wisdom and knowledge to do these things so that we'll be ready. We'll have some food, you know, grown from our own garden that the Lord has helped us and provided for us. So I'm very grateful of that. And I did want to sing a song, if I may. And my hymnals, I see a song here on page 341, To God Be the Glory. So, Father God, I ask that you please bless these words that I sing tonight on from the hymnal, and to be with each and every one of us on the line, and to bless us. Father God, I thank you for everything. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. To God be the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son, who yielded his life atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father, through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The veil is surrendered, who truly believes that no moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father, through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Great things he has taught us, great things he has done, and greater rejoicing through Jesus the Son. Further and higher and greater will be our wonder of transport when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father, through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Amen.
Thank you so much, brothers and sisters.
Amen. 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 Praise God. Praise God. To God be the glory, great things he had done.
Thank you, Lord.
To God be the glory, great things he had done. so love ye the world that he gave us his son. That son that is in the most holy sanctuary now in heaven. So we just have to give God the glory. Thank you, my dear Sister Tamika, for that song, reminding us that, you know, we have to give him the glory. And that's the reason why we are here this evening, you know, to give God the praise, the glory, for all the things that he has done for us. We have to give him praise and then the glory, because all glory and praise go to him. And also for the praise report of you and your grandchildren are in the garden doing planting the vegetable. That is a blessing, brothers and sisters, that we can really go back to the earth to put in the food, because there's time coming, brothers and sisters, we have to plant and grow our own food. So I just want to thank my dear sister for sharing. Yes, brothers and sisters on the line, I'm asking you to press number one, and we are going in prayer until the speaker. You know, we want to give enough time for the speaker, you know, to come on. So we're asking you to come on, to press one that you can share before the speaker comes on. 857-505, your line is open.
Hello, Sister Power. Hello, brothers and sisters on the prayer line. My name is Brother Eli. First of all, I'd like to thank God, Sister Power, because God is good. He's worthy. He is worthy to be praised, Sister Power. Sister Power, I would like to thank God for Sister Tamika. I was singing that song, Sister Power, because Sister Power, this one is my song. I love that song, Sister Power. Because, Sister Power, that song make me feel like I'm happy, like I feel joy in my heart. I feel the Holy Spirit, Sister Power. I say, Lord, I say, thank you, Jesus. I say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. God is good. God is merciful, brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters, he is worthy to be praised. I have a prayer request, Sister Power. My prayer request, Sister Power, is to pray for me. Lift me up in prayer. Sister Power, don't forget to pray for my mother. Lift up my mom in prayer, Sister Power. My mom needs a lot of prayer. Don't forget to pray for me. Sister Power, don't forget to pray for Brother Isma. ISMA. Brother Isma is on this prayer line, Sister Power. Pray for him. Lift up Brother Isma in prayer because he is on this prayer line. But Sister Power, don't forget to pray for Brother Jahari. Lift up Brother Jahari in prayer. Don't forget to pray for Brother Anthony, Sister Power. Pray for Anthony, starting in A-N-T-H-O-N-Y. Anthony, pray for Brother Anthony. Don't forget to pray for Brother Javel, Sister Power, because Brother Javel needs a lot of prayer, Sister Power. He needs a lot of prayer because you know why? You know why, Sister Power? You know why, Sister Power? The enemy is trying to attack him at this moment. And Sister Power, the evil spirit is trying to attack him at this moment. But Sister Power, we're asking you to pray for Brother Javel. Lift up Brother Javel, Sister Power, because Sister Power, the evil spirit is trying to mess with him at the moment. But Sister Power, lift up Brother Javel,
okay,
and he could be kind to me. Sister Power, let me sing special song, Sister Power. I want to sing a song to the Father, to Jesus has done. Sister Power, sing with me. To the Father, to Jesus has done. Father, it has done mercy.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord, sister Powell. Let the people rejoice. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. To the Father, to Jesus has done mercy. Sister Powell, don't forget to tell Sister Tamika pray for me, Sister Powell, because Sister Powell, I need a lot of prayer at this moment, Sister Powell. You know why, Sister Powell? Sister Powell, pray for Brother Javel, Sister Powell. Don't.
Amen.
Sister Powell, do not forget to tell Sister Tamika to pray for Brother Javel, because Brother Javel needs a lot of prayer at this moment, because
all
Sister
right,
Powell,
amen.
Javel
amen.
Needs a prayer at the moment. He needs prayer at this
amen,
moment,
brother.
Sister Powell. Sister Powell,
all right,
God
would
change him in the name of Jesus. God would change him in the name of Jesus. Sister Powell, God would change him in the name of Jesus. Sister Powell, just tell Sister Jamika to pray for Brother Javel because he needs prayer at this moment. He needs prayer. He needs prayer at this moment.
Amen, amen, Brother Eli.
Jesus.
Amen, Brother Eli. Yes, sure, we're going to pray for Brother Javel. Okay, sir. All right. Brothers and sisters, have a... Okay, we are on the line still. Okay, seems like I have a... All right, brothers and sisters, I just give God thanks and praise. I'm going to open the line and ask Sister Carla if she can lead us in prayer now. Brother Eli requests and all these prayer lines, these prayer praise and requests. We're asking you, Sister Carla, if you can lead us in prayer, please. 423-635, your line is open. Sister Carla, can you hear the requests? Can you do a prayer for me, please? 423-635, your line is open. We're not hearing anything. Can you check your phone? Okay. I have a freeze here. 51650, can you also lead out in a prayer for me, please, with these requests?
What a friend we have.
Yes.
Brother
Eli requests.
What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, as I come before you again, dear God, I put Brother Eli requests. All his requests before you, God. Pray for his mother. Touch his mother from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet, O God. Create in her clean heart and renew right spirit within her. Father, whatever the situation and whatever it is, O God, you can restore her and bring everything to normal. I put his friends, always talking about his friends, O God, and put them before you, all his family. I'm asking you to build an edge around them, O God, and to keep them and to guide them and to protect them and help them, O God, to come on this prayer line because he's pining after his friends and he always cares about his friends, O God. Lord, bless them and guide them and protect them and help them to come to you before it is eternally too late, dear God. And I'm asking you to build an edge around Brother Eli and protect him from all arms and all danger. Let nothing that is unlike you come nigh him, O God. Just protect him and hide him under the olive palm of your arms, O God. He's so faithful. O God, build him. Protect him, guide him, shield him, and help him, O God, to walk in the footsteps of you, like you. Be with each and every one of us on the prayer line, O God, and each and every one that need prayer and requesting prayer on the prayer line. Even myself, O God, I need a lot of prayer. Prayer. We need a lot of prayer, God, because without prayer we cannot live. And prayer is our daily food. It is a guide. It is a shield. It is a compass. Keep us, oh God. So, Lord, continue, Jesus. Help us to continue to pray. We don't have to pray out loud. Wherever we is, sitting in a bus, anywhere, we can pray. Because we don't have to open our mouth, oh God, because you know the heart and you know what is in the heart. So, Lord, you continue to and help us to walk with you, for you, so that we may be shielded and be comforted with your loving care and your kindness and your goodness, your love and your mercy, your compassion. Father Jesus, we trust in a special way, Lord, and take this line in charge again, dear Father, and all those who come on the line and all the silent listeners, grant us a blessing. Shield us, dear God. Have your way in our life again, I pray, and I give you thanks. And as the speaker is about to come on, I'm asking you to let he not be seen, and let the word he speak does not come from his mouth, but come from your throne. I pray and I give you thanks. Amen.
Amen. I have... Yes, thank you, my dear sister, for praying. Brothers and sisters, we on the line, we're going in another season of prayer. Just listen to these words. I have a Savior. He's pleading in glory. A dear loving Savior to hurt friends be few. And now he is watching in tenderness o'er me. But oh, that my Savior were your Savior too. For you we are praying, for you we are praying, for you we are praying, we are praying for you. I have a Father, to me he has given a hope for eternity, blessed and true. And soon he will call me, to meet him in heaven. But oh, that he'd let me bring you with me too. For you we are praying, for you we are praying, for you we are praying for you. When Jesus says, find you who tell it to others, the story that my loving Savior's your Savior too, then pray that your Savior will bring them to glory, and prayer will be answer to answer for you. For you I am praying, for you I am praying, for you we are praying, we are praying for you. Kind kind and loving, righteous Father, which art in heaven, we, your children, just want to thank you, Lord, that we are praying, dear God, to you. Lord, you heard our prayer. You heard our cry, Lord, the request, Lord, from each and every one of us who join here this evening, especially our dear brother Eli, crying out to you, dear Father, for Isma, and also Jovel and Johari, his mother, himself, and for the all of us. So this evening, dear Lord, as we present all these requests to you, we are asking you, Lord, to hear them according to your will. Lord, we know you will hear and answer them. Now, dear Lord, we present the speaker, Brother Akin, to you, Father. We ask you to overpower him with the sweet Holy Spirit, Lord. Let his word come forth this evening, Lord, that it will lighten, the glory of God will lighten him, Lord, that he will bring this message to us, dear Father, and we will be refreshed, rejuvenated, that our soul will be, dear Father, with you so that we can be like you, Father. We just want to give you thanks. We praise your name and thank you for everyone who is on the line here now, Lord, and help us to be faithful in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yes, brothers and sisters, I want to say thank you again for joining. Now is the time we are going to open the line for a speaker, and the next voice you will hear is Brother Akin James, and I'm asking you to get your Bible and also your notepad and your pen to take notes. Thank you again for joining. 301-640, line is open.
All right. Well, praise the Lord. Glad to be back on once again this evening. And as we get into our study, I pray that we'll be richly blessed. And by God's grace, I anticipate of definitely being blessed. We're going to cover a few different things today, but we're going to be focusing in on Daniel chapter 11, verse 40, part B. We covered verse 40, part 1, and that statement, that text, says to us in Daniel chapter 11 and verse 40, at the time and at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, that is the king of the north. Last week we found out this was in reference to the French Revolution. The French Revolution, France, one of the most ardent supporters of the papacy, turned upon the papal system, and it actually took away the civil power from the papal system. And also the Pope at that time, he was taken into captivity and he died in captivity the next year. And so as we see this blow that was dealt by atheism, we found out that French Revolution at this time that was taking place, the spirit behind the French Revolution was the spirit of atheism, right? And so we saw that there were burnings of Bibles, all of these things that were happening. And as we looked at it, we saw that according to inspiration, Ellen White states that this was the legitimate result of oppressive Christianity. We made the parallel to today. A year ago, last year, we saw people burning Bibles and all of these things. And a lot of people got angry at these atheists as though this burning of Bibles came out of nowhere. And I'm not excusing the burning of Bibles. That was wrong and it was evil. But you have to understand the cause. The reason was because of oppressive Christianity. And friends, as we look at the situation in the world today, while the church and the word of God does not condone an alternate lifestyle, while it does not condone homosexuality, while it does not condone the LGBTQ lifestyle in many cases, as we look at these lifestyles in as it concerns the letters LGBTQ+, while the Bible does not agree with that alternate lifestyle, friends, we must come to the realization that in our homes, many have gone to rebellion against God because of the situation that took place in their homes, from parents who would not love them unconditionally, while upholding the principles of truth, still loving their children unconditionally. This previous generation is still addressing that same situation now as we look at atheism and secularism rising up in our world today. They're still facing, previous generation is still facing a hardship with how to love their children who may be following this lifestyle while at the same time upholding the truth in their own lives. And many times as children rebel, it's because they saw hypocrisy in their own homes. They saw a Christianity that was oppressive, a Christianity that did not lead by example. And the result is that later on when their children rebelled, you know what those parents do? They get angry, never thinking once in their minds, did I give my child a good example? Did I give my son and daughter a true example of righteousness? Or was I a Christian that was continually condemning them in every phase of their lives, putting them down, destroying their individuality, which Ellen White says God desires to refine and not take away? As these things happen in the home, friends, and this new generation, what we're seeing in this new generation that's rising up is a generation that is becoming tired of that kind of Christianity. And the result is that secularism is on the rise, just as it was with this king of the South, atheism, that rose up against oppressive Christianity, tired of the Bible being forced upon them. And friends, it was indeed forced by law. It was forced upon the people, and the traditions of men were forced upon the people. Finally, in the French Revolution, guided by the spirit of atheism and secularism, it revolted. A revolution took place. Hence, inspiration says, because it was the result of oppressive Christianity, even though it was wrong, even though the French Revolution and the spirit behind it was satanic, she says it was legitimate. It was understandable, in other words. In other words, not only was it inevitable, but she says it was understandable. It was the legitimate result of 1,260 years of oppressive Christianity, of a wrong version, of a false version of Christianity. And this is why we truly need to be in prayer in this generation. For we see that secularism is on the rise, but why? It is the same reason, because they have become tired of homes that were oppressive. The youth of this generation, while they may be wrong in many of their ideas, it is stemming from a wrong example in the home. Everything starts in the home. I want to read this statement to us. We know this statement all too well. Lest we try to just get on people that are burning Bibles, I want to read a statement to us. And this is what it says in the book Adventist Home. We know this statement very well. Society, this is the very first statement found in Adventist Home, and the original place this is found is Ministry of Healing, page 349. It says, society is composed of families, and what and is what? Listen to this. Society is composed of families and is what the heads of families make it. Ho, ho, ho. But it goes further. Out of the heart are the issues of life. And the heart of, here it is, the community, of the church, of the nation, is what? The household. The well-being of society. You want to know why secularism is on the rise? The well-being of society, the success of the church, the prosperity of the nation, depend on home influences. So if the nation is going astray, what does that mean first went astray? The home. There was a wrong example there. Therefore, this new generation is going crazy because they've seen a wrong example in many lives. I'm not saying in all, but in many lives, as much as it is prevalent in society, it has to mean then that there's a lot of broken homes. There's a lot of homes that are going against, that are seeking to say that they are Christian, but living against the principles of love. The elevation or deterioration of the future of society will be determined by the manners and morals of the youth growing up around us. As the youth are educated and as their characters are molded in their childhood to virtuous habits of self-control, temperance, so will their influence be upon society. If they are left unenlightened and uncontrolled, and as the result become self-willed, intemperate in appetite and passion, so will be their future influence in molding society. The company which the young now keep, the habits they now form, and the principles they now adopt are the index to the state of society for years to come. Friends, that's serious. This is why, respectfully, it's a two-edged sword as we're looking at in society today, because you're seeing the example of stars as they have children, as celebrities have children. These celebrities have major influence in society. And as they have their children, they're letting their children, whose brains scientifically are not even fully developed, they're giving their children the choice of whether they want to be a boy or a girl. They're telling their children, you can make your own choice, right? Knowing full well, some of them knowing and some of them not knowing, unknowingly, the understanding that the brain does not fully develop until later on. And later on, there is an understanding that, whoa, this is who I am. But what is happening now is that parents, instead of guiding their children and having an appropriate control over them and guiding them in the way that they should go, showing them the simplicity of what God has said in his word as it concerns man and woman, as a result of these things being thrown out that they should be guided in, there is confusion. And you know what's happening? Because these people have major influence in society, many others in society are now following them. But friends, this is not the way. The true way, which is the hard way, is for parents not only to have a proper control upon their children and teach them principles of temperance and good habits, but friends, the only way that a child can truly imbibe these very principles of temperance, self-control, and other virtuous habits is if they see an example of it in their parents. It is more than words, greater than words or precepts given from the lips, greater than a precept spoken is a precept lived. And when the parents live out these precepts, those children would have a lot less problems following the example, because a child's mind is like a sponge. And if they see inconsistency, this is the character that they will develop. So this is why I say to parents that may come to me in this generation, I say, don't be too hard on your children. Make sure that your life, your own life, is right. Because many times the reason that children revolt, just as it was during the time of the French Revolution, that generation revolted, is because they saw an inconsistent picture of Christianity in their homes. It is a hard thing for a parent to actually acknowledge and say, you know what, I have not done right by my family. I have not done right by my son or my daughter. And it could be that the very reason that they're rebelling, and I am praying hardcore for them right now, is because of the example that I gave them. Friends, may we pray that in this generation where secularism is on the rise, again, that friends, we will do right in this generation. And I pray that for myself as well. For I know the struggles that I have internally and the struggles that I have in my own life. And I say, Lord, help me to live a righteous life in this generation, that I might be an example, not just in word, but in life. So this is the reason, as we saw last week, for the French Revolution taking place. Oppressive Christianity, right? The burning of Bibles, all of these things took place. As a result, it was wrong, atrocious, but it took place as the legitimate result of what? The legitimate result of papal oppression, all right? So as we look at this, I could actually probably read this to you all. Yep, this is found. Here's the statement. This is found in Great Controversy, speaking of the French Revolution. Great Controversy, page 265. I'll read 265, paragraph 1 and 2. It says, in the 16th century, the Reformation, presenting an open Bible to the people, had sought admission to all the countries of Europe. Some nations welcomed it with gladness as a messenger of heaven. In other lands, the papacy succeeded to a great extent in preventing its entrance. And the light of the Bible knowledge, with its elevating influences, was almost wholly excluded. In one country, though, the light found entrance. It was not comprehended by the darkness. For centuries, truth and error struggled for the mastery. At last, the evil triumphed, and the truth of heaven was thrust out. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. John 3:19. The nation was left to reap the results of the course which she had chosen. The restraint of God's Spirit was removed from a people that had despised the gift of grace. Evil was permitted to come to maturity, and all the world saw the fruit of willful rejection of light. Now, here's what it says here. You ready? This is what it says. Page 265 of Great Controversy, The Bible and the French Revolution. The war against the Bible, carried forward for so many centuries in France, culminated in the scenes of the Revolution. That is the French Revolution. That terrible outbreaking of the French Revolution, burning of Bibles, all of these things, was but the legitimate result of Rome's suppression of the scriptures. It presented the most striking illustration which the world has ever witnessed of the working out of atheism? No, of papal policy. An illustration of the results which for more than 1,000 years, 1,260 to be exact, the teaching of the Roman Church had been tending. The suppression of the scriptures during the period of papal supremacy was foretold by the prophets, and the Revelator points also to the terrible results that were to accrue especially to France from the domination of the man of sin. And we read about that last week in Revelation chapter 7. The prophet John prophesied this coming revolution. And so this is the king of the south. Atheism, inspiration told us last week, coming against the papacy because it was tired of its suppression. It was tired of its oppression, and as a result of the holding back of the scriptures, which will elevate men, friends, the French Revolution broke out. And when it broke out not only against false Christianity, but against everything religious, even the Word of God itself. And hence you had the burning of Bibles. So they thought everything religious was evil. Everything that had to do with Christianity was evil because of the picture the papacy gave. So this was Daniel 11:40, the first part, which happened in 1798. Now part B of Daniel 11:40 says, the king of the north struck back. It says, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots and with horsemen and with many ships, and he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. What is that talking about? Friends, do you know what this is referring to? This is referring to, and I'm going to calculate the time period for you. This was what? 1798, right? So let's take, so we're looking at 1798 here, and this attack took place 184 years later. So 1798, that was when atheism, secularism, came against the papacy. The Pope was taken captive, the papacy lost its civil power. But 184 years later, after 1798, in the year 1982, in the year 1982, friends, this is when the king of the north struck back. Now, friends, this is one of the things that we have to understand as it concerns the king of the north. The king of the north in the Old Testament was likened by Jeremiah, by Isaiah, and Ezekiel as Babylon. Babylon was the name for the king of the north. And friends, it's very interesting. As you go into the New Testament, there is an end-time power called Babylon, the Great. And it's in reference, actually there's an end-time power, let me say it that way, that's called Babylon. And it's in reference to two major powers, to two major movements. Babylon, yes, at one point consisted just of the papacy. Revelation 17:5 talks about Babylon the Great, and that it, she is. But look at what it says about her in Revelation 17:5. It says, Babylon the Great, the king of the north, the territory of the north, Babylon, she is the mother of harlots. Now remember, woman in the Bible, a woman in the Bible symbolizes a church. But this woman is called a whore. Babylon the Great, that woman, she is called a whore in Revelation 17. In other words, an unfaithful woman. This is an unfaithful church. She has turned away from Christ and completely apostatized. But it's not only her. She has daughters, meaning, and it's other harlots, she's the mother of harlots, meaning of other churches that have turned away from the Son of Man. They have turned away from Christ. And so in this apostasy now, those harlots mean that it's other churches that have turned away from the truth. Now, friends, you know what's amazing about that? Because Revelation 14, verse 8, the second angel says, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations to drink the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Babylon there was not just a symbol of the papacy, but we know, according to Revelation 14, 8, Babylon is in reference to the harlot daughters, the other churches, the evangelical churches, these Protestant churches that have apostatized from the truth. And so in light of this now, Babylon then is a term for the king of the north. But who does it encompass? It takes into account not only the papacy, but it takes away, it takes into account also her, the Protestant movements that have apostatized from the truth and are now returning to the mother church. Hence, she is called the mother of other churches. The papacy has styled herself with that very title, the mother of other churches. Churches that what? Have fallen from the truth. They have turned away from the Son of Man. They're Christ, the husband of the bride, right? So they've turned away. They've apostatized, and now they become part of this king of the north, the territory of the north that was called in the book of Daniel, that was called in the book of Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel. It was called Babylon. Babylon was called the territory of the north. And end time Babylon now is the same. It is the territory of the north. So we're looking at the papal system, and we're looking at the churches that are becoming more and more aligned with the papal system. Friends, this is why this is so powerful, because the next 1798 was when the first part of Daniel 1140 took place. But the second part of Daniel 1140, where the king of the north strikes back at the king of the south, it's telling us that there will be a time when the papacy rises up again, along with Protestantism, to attack what? To attack atheism or to attack secularism. So this is because, you remember, the king of the south is secularism / atheism, according to inspiration. The reference for that, let me give it to you again. The reference for that, as we saw last week, is Great Controversy, page 269, paragraph 2. She says, concerning the spirit that was behind the French Revolution, and that was the king of the south, or the territory of the south mentioned in Revelation 11, she says, this is atheism. And it was represented as Egypt and Sodom. She says, this is atheism. So now, what would happen in the latter part of Daniel 1140 is that the king of the north, the papal system along with the fallen churches, will attack what? They will attack secularism. They would attack atheism. And how did this happen? Friends, this took place 184 years after 1798, in the year 1982. It was called, by Time magazine, the Holy Alliance, how Reagan and the Pope conspired to assist Poland's solidarity movement and hastened the demise of communism. An investigative report. Friends, this magazine is all over. Even to this day, many people remember it. The Holy Alliance. And what was that Holy Alliance? This meeting, it started with a meeting that took place in the Vatican Library, where only Ronald Reagan, by the way, a Protestant, where only Ronald Reagan and Pope John Paul II met on June 7th, 1982. The purpose of this secret meeting was to bring down communism in Eastern Europe. And you remember, friends, what is the philosophical ideology of communism? It is atheism, that there is no God. So this is how it was being manifested in the latter part of Daniel 11:40. The purpose of the secret meeting was to bring down communism in Eastern Europe. Due to this meeting, which lasted 50 minutes, a union was made between the United States, a Protestant nation, and the Vatican. So friends, what do we see here? The United States, a civil power, handing over its power to the Vatican and the Pope John Paul II, in the person of Pope John Paul II. As they met, because Pope John Paul II, his home was Poland, and he was seeking to liberate Poland from the oppression of communism. But you know what was very intense about this? This is where I want to bring us to our time, because many are being led astray in this generation, many a Seventh-day Adventist, in light of thinking that secularism is going to be the end-time threat. You hear a lot of evangelicals saying today that communism is going to be the end time threat. Communism is going to take over. Socialism is going to take our country. And you hear people saying that all over the place. Friends, do you know it was the same in 1982? Ronald Reagan and Pope John Paul II taught that communism was going to be the major foe. And so they united with each other in order to bring down communism. But friends, question for you. Who was the real threat? Was it communism? Was it socialism? Friends, even though communism may have been a threat, do you know who was the real threat? It was the uniting of the civil power of the United States and the Vatican, a uniting of church and state. That was the major threat. Because in doing that, what happened to the Vatican? It began to regain some of the power that it lost, the civil power that it lost in 1798. This is going to happen again. We are told that there's going to come a point where the United States, within the U.S. of A., that this nation is a nation where Protestantism, Christianity, and the state will once again unite and give their power over to the Vatican once again. This is the major threat at the end of time. This is why it is a very scary thing when you hear Seventh-day Adventists beginning to spout evangelical theology, that atheism is going to be the end-time threat. As bad as secularism is, friends, it is not the end-time threat. The end-time threat is when church, the Protestant movements of America, unite with the state in order to push religious dogmas. I remember a friend told me, he said, "King, bro, don't you see? Don't you see that socialism is trying to take over? Don't you see that secularism, these atheists and the LGBTQ community is trying to take our country?" And I said, "Brother, I'm not worried about secularism and atheism. My fear is what will happen when, as the pendulum swings and we're seeing it going up and up on the side of secularism and atheism, what will happen next? According to Bible prophecy, do you know what will happen? Evangelical Christianity, apostate Protestantism, will feel that it has gone so far that it will pull the pendulum all the way to the right. And as this happens, friends, then is when you will see, for lack of a better word, all chaos break loose. That's when You're going to see what was prophesied in the spirit of prophecy. And friends, that time is coming. You can hear the language. And so as this is taking place, this is why we have to learn from our history. Because while Ronald Reagan, a Protestant president, was giving over the civil power to the Vatican, he was thinking communism is the threat, atheism is the threat. We need to look out for them. But according to prophecy, it was Ronald Reagan and the Pope that were the real threat. Church and state uniting in order to fight against another power, thereby restoring some civil power to the Vatican. It is stated that the reason that many saw this holy alliance between Reagan and Pope John Paul II as they saw it as some sort of divine plan was due to the fact that assassination attempts were made on both individuals within 6 weeks of each other. Ronald Reagan, it happened to him, his assassination attempt was on March 30th, 1981, and Pope John Paul II was on May 13th, 1981. So the previous year, both of them were almost killed, and they survived. And then they came together, and everyone was like, whoa, this is a divine plan. This was divinely orchestrated. Both of them survived, and now they're uniting. Friends, this was a mass deception that many people didn't realize. They ultimately did bring down, we remember the term, many of us from that, many of those of you who are from that generation, you remember the phrase, Gorbachev, tear down that wall. The result was, we know that communism did fall. And friends, there were warlike tactics that took place as a result that led to this fall. Friends, there were CIA intelligence from the United States that were involved and rendered to the Pope of Rome in order to use the resources of the CIA intelligence force in order to bring down communism at that time. So this is how now the King of the North pushes back. King of the North meaning what? Meaning Babylon the Great, along with a Protestant president uniting in order to bring down what they saw as a great threat, not realizing that they themselves in making this union were the great threat. And so as this happens now, what we're going to start seeing is this, all right? While it is true, and I want to repeat this, while it is true that communism was a threat, friends, in our society today, secularism is a threat, no doubt. I did not downplay that. But there's something that we must ever keep in mind. The dangerous thing about the Holy Alliance is that while the Protestants and the papacy thought that communism was the ultimate threat, they failed to realize that they themselves were the actual threat. Why? Through Ronald Reagan rendering the civil power of the United States over to the Vatican, he was actually helping to heal the deadly wound the papacy received in 1798. Now, in light of having that understanding of who Babylon is, a combination of the fallen churches, the harlots, which are the daughters of the papal system, the daughters of Babylon the Great, which means those daughters are also Babylonian, hence they're called in Revelation 14:8 Babylon, the kingdom of the north. We've seen this evangelical mindset along with the papacy united. So all these churches that are falling away from the truth, they comprise what? Babylon, which was called the king of the north. So in light of that, we're seeing, we understand who the king of the north is. We understand that the king of the south is secularism/atheism, and it can be manifested in different ways. Communism, as we saw in Daniel 11:40, and in different ways, a plethora of different ways. And so as we look at this now, having this understanding, we now go into Daniel 11:41. It says there in Daniel 11:41, now look at what happens. Friends, yes, Ronald Reagan uniting with the Pope and Protestants at that time they may have been deceived. That's one thing. They thought that communism was the threat when they were the threat. That's one thing. But friends, when Seventh-day Adventists begin to take on that very mindset in the name of politics, you hear many a Seventh-day Adventist saying the same thing today. And I tell you, go on to some of the prophetic countdowns of many of these evangelical movements. They have it online now. You can just search it up on YouTube. Go to these major evangelical sources, these other churches, and find out what their belief system is on prophecy. And you will see that they believe that the end time threat against Christianity is atheism, which is completely opposite to the history of the Bible. Friends, who was Christ's greatest enemy? The greatest enemy of Christ was his own people, the leaders of his own people. And they, in turn, appealed to the civil power of Rome in order to kill him. Had they not done that, friends, things would have been very different. Christ would have still had to die, but it would not have been at the hands of his people. But there is a historical point that Christ is trying to show us, that the enemy of God's remnant people at the end of time will be our own religious relatives. Christianity. False Christianity. Just as false religion, false Judaism, or false religion was the threat against Christ and his ministry and his apostles. In the same way at the end of time. Friends, it won't be atheists. But this is what evangelicals believe. And you find many Christians beginning to take that on. This is why I'm realizing, I always wondered, inspiration says that there's going to be a serious deception at the end. And I always wonder, how could that take place? Like, I mean, the spirit of prophecy in the Bible is clear. How could that ever take place? But friends, I'm seeing it now. Because here's what's beginning to happen. Daniel 11:41 says, he, the king of the north, after dealing with the king of the south, he shall enter also into the glorious land, and many shall be overthrown. Notice the word countries there is italicized. It says, and many shall be overthrown, but these shall escape. Let me say this. You notice countries, the word countries, many countries shall be overthrown. That word countries is italicized, meaning it's not in the original. So it reads, and many shall be overthrown, but these shall escape out of his hand. Even Edom and Moab and the chief of the children of Ammon. That's Daniel 11:41. Now, what is the glorious land? According to Scripture, Malachi chapter 3 and verse 12, speaking of God's people, states, and all nations shall call you, my people, blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 27. That he may present it, the church, to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Psalm 45, verse 13, the king's daughter, speaking of God's people in relation to him, is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. So what is being revealed here? As we look through Scripture, and you know what's very interesting? Even as you look, and we covered this, this is why we went through all of Daniel 11. Something to keep in mind is that in both Daniel 11, verses 14 and 16, the glorious land is represented as God's chosen people. So when we read here that the king of the north shall enter into the glorious land, what's the glorious land then? It's God's chosen people at the end of time. Because now we've gone beyond, we've gotten up to in the first part of Daniel 11:40, history brought us to 1798, the time of the end. In the latter part of Daniel 11:40, it brought us all the way 184 years later, 1982. And then now we're going forward. Now we're bringing it up to our day. Daniel 11:41 deals with us. And what does it say? The papacy will seek to enter in among us. But how so? Not just the papacy, because you remember the king of the north is not just the papal system. It's also the fallen Protestant churches. many of us have said, you know, well, it's entered in among us through music, right? And that's one way for sure. As a result of the Vatican II Council, which took place on October 11, 1962, to December 8, 1965, celebration music has entered into the ranks of God's remnant. This idea of music that is wild, that music that lacks a call to reverence before God, music that takes us out of that spirit of reverence into a spirit of chaos. This is true, but there's another way. That the King of the North, symbolized with the papal system, Protestant churches has entered in among us. And friends, that is as it concerns our prophetic understanding. As a result of politics, people have aligned their prophetic understanding. Even Seventh-day Adventists have aligned their prophetic understanding with evangelical teaching, with the teaching of Babylonian churches. And so we are beginning now, what you're beginning to see is people, is God's people beginning, the chosen people, the glorious land, the remnant, beginning to adapt understanding of the prophecies to make it fit with evangelical teaching. No longer is it the union of Protestantism and the state. Now, the belief system among many is that atheism, socialism, Marxism, all of these isms will be the end time threat. Atheism is going to be the end time threat. Those who don't know God, those who say, I don't know God and I don't care for God. Friends, what we know that the spirit of prophecy in the Bible tells us opposite. This is how the deception is coming in. Men and women, for the sake of political expediency, are beginning to align themselves with Babylonian prophetic ideologies. And friends, they're beginning to preach that as though it is the everlasting gospel. The result is mass deception. And we're going to cover this next week, because as we cover, one of the things I want to cover with us is in light of the situation that's taking place. Hopefully I remember the situation that's taking place now in Palestine and the war between Islam and or Muslims and also Christians. Many people, I had a member of my church, friends, this was so wild. A member of my church, he walked up to me and he said, we need to support Israel. And as I listened to him, I was like, wait, what? The reason I was so shocked is because as a former evangelical, as a former non-denominational Pentecostal member, friend, that was once my belief. Some of you, you may see it even today. You drive past different churches today and you see signs up, saying posters up, saying support Israel. And many people just think, well, yeah, they're just saying, you know, care for people around the world. No, friends. When that statement is made, it has religious connotations. The idea is that those people who are in the land of Israel, territory, that very territory where Jews dwell today in Palestine, the belief system is that these people are still the Israel of God. Now, you and I, as Seventh-day Adventists, know according to the Bible that now Israel is not a geographical place. Therefore, when we say, when a person at a church I went to said that to me, I was blown away. I was like, wait, what? This is evangelical teaching. We believe that now Israel is worldwide. Anyone, including a Jew or a Muslim or a Hindu or a Buddhist, that comes away from these movements to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they are counted as Israel. Israel is now worldwide, friends. But that is to tell you how much people are watching YouTube videos and conspiracy theories. They are imbibing now the very theology of the conspiracy theorists that they're listening to. And many of them, guess what they are? They're evangelicals. And so it makes sense then, as we are not looking to the more sure word of prophecy, but for political expediency are now listening to evangelical theology and conspiracies. We are now beginning to take on their theology. And now we are believing things like the mark of the beast is the COVID vaccine. Israel are those located over in that region in Palestine. We're starting to believe things like the great end time threat is going to be atheism. All of these things. Now, friends, don't worry. Something is going to happen at the end with atheism. And we're going to see it as we continue studying. But my prayer for each and every one of us is that we'll study and that we will filter all things honestly through the Bible and the spirit of prophecy so that we will not be led astray. Now I'm beginning to realize how this falling away, this sifting is going to happen at the end of time. I always wondered, how could this thing happen? Like, the things that the light that we have been given is so detailed. Friends, now I'm understanding. My prayer for us is that we will stand faithful. With that, let's have a word of prayer as we close this session. Father in heaven, we've covered a lot this evening, but I pray, O God, that it makes sense to us. I pray, O God, that we will not follow the teachings of the fallen churches, that we will know that we are not somehow inherently greater than anyone else as the remnant, but that we will also understand, however, that we are the remnant of end-time prophecy and that you have given us a layout of what's coming, not in a cliche manner, not in a general way, but in detail, that we may know where to look as it concerns the end-time threat. Father, now it is being made clear how these things will be a surprise for many. For Lord, if we are not studying and then being sanctified by that which we are studying, bringing all of our views to submit itself before the truth of the Word of God, seeing that if our views are wrong, that we will be willing to give it up. Father, I pray that you will guide us in this name, that we will stand upon the more sure word of prophecy rather than upon conspiracies and the theology of fallen churches. Guide us to this end, I pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Hakiel, for that presentation of Daniel 11. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, you know, I'm asking, encouraging my brothers and sisters to go back and to read these verses, because these are the messages. These messages is describing to us the time, you know, that we are living in, and those days in the ancient time where the trials was, you know, and God wants us to be faithful to him. You know, and as we are going to face these things, it said we are also going to face these trials and tribulations. But if we trust God, he told us that he will be with us and he will never leave us. So let us continue to be faithful to him, that all these things, when it comes up, it not won't be any fear, because it said, you know, a lot of us, as we have been listening, who have gifted believers, they were gifted believers. We have seen that they stumble, right? And they fall, and a lot of us falling back into sin, right? So be not fearful for losing your faith in God. So God is able to do all things. You know, we may not understand this prophecy, but brothers and sisters, you can go back over and study this. We are on this verse here, Daniel 11, for quite a long time, brothers and sisters. And, you know, If we read, continually read and ask the Lord to guide and to lead us, you know, which is going to tell us what is going to happen. But the following passage of Daniel 12 telling us that the prophecy of the last day, and that is the time when Michael shall stand up. So there are going to be joy. There are going to be, you know, blessings upon God's faithful people. And despite of all this, we know if we trust God and have faith in him, he is able and just to carry us through this hard trials that is going on and this murdering all over, the killing and all these things that is happening. Let us continue to be faithful, you know, to God. Bless, ask him to help us, to strengthen us, you know, that the same thing that happened to the in the French Revolution that we saw, you know, it happened, it's going to repeat again itself. You know, so let us be faithful. And thank you all, brothers and sisters, for our sharing. I don't know if anyone have any query that they would like to ask Brother Akeen. James, if you have, can you put your stake off yourself off the line? I think it's star six, and then you can press 1 to ask any question, you know, short question. That if you have, you know, you do not understand, if you could do that. And also press 1 that you can. And also, I'm encouraging my brothers and sisters to go back and read Daniel 11. And out of that, there are some other scripture that came out of those passages that you can read. Our brother told you about Jeremiah, right, and also Matthew 20. Ezekiel 8 and 14, there are some scripture that you can go back and read. So, brothers and sisters, I just want to thank you very much. There is somebody here who pressed number 1. Let I open a line. Okay, 347-645, your line is open.
Thank you for opening my line. Good evening. I was late and I did not get to know which book was being used for the discussion this evening.
Amen.
Brother Akeen was a speaker. He was giving a discussion. I did not hear the beginning. So there was a special book the reading was from.
Brother Akeen James, I wonder, he was reading from Daniel 11 and at the page, I think, 40 to 42. I'm going to open the line. Brother Akeen. Okay. All right. Brother Akeen, my sister.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Sister Lynn,
okay, great.
Yes.
So you were asking, what book did I quote from at the beginning?
Is the other book that you were reading the history about the Reagan and the Pope and secularism, atheism, all those things? Is a special book to get the history from?
Yeah, that was it. I was reading from The Great Controversy, and it can be found, I'll give you some pages. The overall chapter is chapter 15, Great Controversy, chapter 15, and the pages are 269. Actually, yeah, that's the page, page 269. And the other thing I was talking about with Ronald Reagan and John Paul II, that is actually a magazine. You can look it up online as well. It's free. You could find out. You could actually see it if you type it in. Just type in Time Magazine, The Holy Alliance. And it will actually bring up articles on it and what happened at that time.
Okay. And what is the chapter 15, Great Controversy? What's the topic?
The subject is the Bible and the French Revolution.
Thank you.
No problem.
Okay.
And I think your chapter in Daniel 11, right, Brother Akin?
That's right. Yeah, Daniel 11:40.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Thank you, Brother Akin. And also thank you, Sister Lynn. Right? And we are encouraging our brothers and sisters to go back and study the Bible and the French Revolution and also the Daniel 12 and also those literature. So I just want to give God thanks this evening for what he has given unto us, his word. And you know what? And brothers and sisters, let us be faithful. All right. Anyone else have any question? Can you press 1? Okay. All right, brothers and sisters, there is no one else. So I just want to thank everyone who was on the line and all who share. And we are going to close with a word of prayer. Kind and loving Father, again, we come to you to give you thanks and praise for your love and your mercies. We thank you for your many blessings that you have given unto us in your word. Father, we thank you for your promises that you are with us even to the end, Lord. At this time, Lord, we are going to face trials and tribulation, dear Father, persecution. We know we are going to face this beautiful country that we are in. Father, we have seen all the things that is happening within, and we ask you, Father, to strengthen us. Help us, dear Lord, that we will not be afraid, but we will trust you and trust in your word and depend upon you for that strength to strengthen us at this time and for us to know that there is a message to proclaim, Lord, out there that others do not know. So we ask you to give us that power, dear Father, the power that you have given unto the first disciples, them in the upper room. We are asking you for that power, dear Lord, and you told us that you are going to lighten up this world with your glory, and we have to go and share that message to others, Lord. So help us that we will be faithful to you as we join night upon night and listen to these wonderful promises that you have given unto us. We ask you to strengthen us, dear, that we draw close to you every day, every minute, and look upon your life that you have lived. And now, Lord, as we extend, Lord, to each one of us to leave this space and this setting that we are in, we ask you for your mercies towards us and give us a good rest tonight, that we can rest in your word, wake up in your word, dear Lord, and that we can share with others. Thank you for hearing. Thank you for answering our prayer. In Jesus' loving name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining. Remember, tomorrow night is Monday night upon the 701 is the Great Controversy Study. So we are inviting everyone to be present. God bless.
Thank you. Thank you.